Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Lamed. We are beginning four lines from the top with the words Omer Rav Papa. We're learning today Le'ili Nishmas Paul Michaels, Pinchas Ben Yeshayah. All the Nishamas we learn for should have an Aliyah. The Gemara starts off with a din that Rav Papa tells us, again, Lamed, Omer Aleph, four lines from the top. Omer Rav Papa, Tzoa Bim Koma. If you find excrement, Tzoa, waste, feces, that are Bim Koma, in their place. We'll see in a moment what does this mean. It means by the end of the anus, right, where the excrement normally comes out from a person's body. So if you find excrement there, so usur likros kriyashma. A person is forbidden to say kriyashma while he has that excrement over there. It has to be clean. A person has to have a guf naki when he's davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, the Gemara says, hey, chidami, what exactly are we talking about? If the excrement by your anus, by the end of your GI tract. Edeniris, if you're telling me that it's visible, somebody could see this, then pshita, of course, what's the chiddush of Rav Papa? Edeloniris, if it's not visible, so again, what is Rav Papa telling us? Yet the role, we're human beings. Lo nitna Torah l'malachei asharis. The Torah wasn't given to malachim. As some of the mafashim bring down, the Tosafos Rabbeinu Peretz and the Rabbeinu Avraham min Ahar, they both say the same idea, that everybody has excrement in their intestines. We're human beings. So, lo nit matar l'malachei asharis, what can we be expected? This is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us. If you can't daven, if you can't learn, say kriyashma, while you have excrement in your body, then none of us will ever be able to daven, learn, or say kriyashma. So what's Rav Papa's chiddush? The Gemara says, lo tzricha, the chiddush of Rav Papa is in the following situation, where you have the yoshev, the nearest, but omed, the eno nearest. The excrement is outside the GI canal. It's outside the anus a little bit. So it's visible if you're sitting down when your buttocks are a little bit more spread apart. But when you're standing up and the buttocks, so to say, close, so then it isn't visible. So the tzoa in this situation, according to Rav Papa, is also to say kriyashma. So it's not inside the GI tract, but it's not clearly visible outside the GI tract. That is considered tzoa that is also for a person to say kriyashma. What is Rav Papa telling us over here that seems to go against what was learned elsewhere? We learned that if you have tzoa anywhere on your body, by your GI tract, if you have tzoa on your body, that you're not allowed to go and daven in that situation. Did Marit says over there, tzoa al bisoro, or oshayu yodob beveisakis, if a person has excrement, he has waste somewhere on his body, or he has his hands inside a bathroom. Talking here, Rashi explains that the person has stuck his hand inside a bathroom. There's some sort of a mechitza that separates the bathroom from the rest of his body. He put his hand through a window, through some sort of a hole, and there's the wall, the partition between the bathroom and where the rest of your body is, and his hand is inside the bathroom. So again, he has tzoa someplace on his body, or his hand is in the bathroom. So what's the halacha in that situation? So Rav Huna Amar, mutar lo likros kriyashma. Rav Huna says that it is permissible for that person to go and say kriyashma. He holds, based upon the psukim in Tillim, where it says, kol hanishama tahalokah, that your entire nishama, meaning the organs that help you breathe, your mouth, your nose, they can't have any tzoa on them. But if you have tzoa on any other evarim, then that's not included in your whole body has to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's only neshama to hallow ka. And therefore, if other parts of your body are dirty, for example, your hands inside this bathroom, even though your rest of your body, your mouth, your nose are not, or if you have some tzoa on your foot, so then it's not a problem. Ein ma'akvin for you to say kriyashma. Or on the other hand, Rav Chista disagrees. Rav Chista Amar, the pasuk tells us, kol atzmo sai tomarna, Hashem mikomocha. Our entire body, every one of our atzmos has to go and praise the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And therefore, Rav Chista tells us that it's forbidden to say the kriyashma if, in fact, you have tzoa any place on your body, or if even if your hand is in the bathroom, even though the rest of your body is not. So therefore, Rav Huna and Rav Chista both aren't in agreement with Rav Papa said. Why is that? Rav Huna disagrees with Rav Papa because Rav Huna said that if you have tzoa anywhere in your body, that includes even on the external aspect, even though it's yoshe veniris, ome ve'eno niris, so Rav Huna says that that's not a problem. And even Rav Chista, he also says that it's only osur if it's kol atzmosai, all of the limbs of the body, but that doesn't include necessarily the pi tabas by the end of the GI tract. That wouldn't be asur. So neither Rav Huna nor Rav Chista agree with where Papa said. So Mor says no. The answer is bimakoma, when it's right in the rectal area, so then nafish zuama, it's going to be extremely foul smelling. Some of the mafarshim point out it's going to be moist as well, and therefore it's going to be certainly giving off a terrible odor, and therefore you're not allowed to go and read Kriyashma. However, shalo bimakoma, if it's not in that actual place, so then lo nafish zuama, even though there may be some excrement there, it isn't going to necessarily be so foul smelling. And then the regular rules of tzo apply. If you're covered up, so then as long as you can't smell or see the tzoa, so then if it's covered up, these dinim wouldn't apply. So therefore, there's no stira between what Rav Papa said and what Rav Huna and Rav Chista said, albeit Rav Huna and Rav Chista, they have a machlokis. Mark continues with a similar aside. Tana Rabbanu, we learn in the following braisa, halacha besuda, the following halacha applies in a meal. If a person leaves his table to go to urinate, odam hayotze lahashtin mayim, he's in the middle of the meal, and he goes to urinate, so no tell yodo, when he returns, he has to go wash until his yadayim, but just achas, just the hand that was mishafshef. We learned in yesterday's shiur that you have to get off the drops of urine from the tip of your aver when you go to the bathroom, when you're urinating, because it could lead, rachman l'san, to people seeing if you have urine on your legs, that you are a kur shavcha, and it could cast dispersions on your children to say that the nebuch, that you are incapable of being the father, and that rachman l'san, the mother had committed adultery. So therefore, a person who goes in the middle of the meal to urinate has to wash the one hand that he was mishafshif with. And then, the nichnas, then he can come back to the meal. Then he tells us the next halach in this braisa, if a person was in the middle of his meal stopping to eat, and diber im chaveiro v'hiflig, so he spent a great deal of time talking with his friend, and in other words, he had a hesach hadas, and therefore his hands aren't necessarily clean any longer, he may have touched places that would make his hands tameh, so therefore, no tel shnei yodav v'nichnas. He has to go and wash both of his hands in this situation, and then he can return to the meal. Now, kishahu no tel, and when he does come back to the meal, so he has to make sure that he washes his hands, lo yitomi b'chutz, he shouldn't wash them outside, and then yikonis, and then come inside. Why? Because mipnei chashat, people are going to suspect that he didn't wash his hands. So we want to bedavka show them that he's washing his hands, so he washes his hands inside. Ela nichnas v'yoshev bimkomo v'noto shtei yodav. In fact, he goes and comes inside, washes his hands in the presence of everybody else, and then umachzir hatofiach ala orchid. He actually then passes it around, the washing cup and the basin, and he says, does anybody else need to wash the hands? And this way he demonstrates to them that he definitely is washing his hands. They may not have seen him. Some of the mafarshim say that he came inside and washed his hands inside. They were so busy eating. So he then, the davka goes and is machzir atofiach ala orchid to show them, hey, I washed my hands. Do any of you need to wash your hands? This way he clearly demonstrates that he did wash his hands. Rabbeinu Chananel explains that the lashon over here, the rice, is a little bit funny. He says, it does say, ukishu notel, lo yitol mi bachutz v'yikones, mipnei achashad. So it says, nichnas v'yoshev imkomo, but first it said, diver im chaver v'hiflik, notel shtei yodo v'nichnas. Why is that not the right order? So he said that the first part is just talking about, in general, when a person goes to wash hands until he's dying before a meal, he can wash them outside, he doesn't have to wash them inside, because everybody knows you wash your hands before the meal. Now, Gemara continues, says, Amar Chis Lo Amar, when this din that we just said, that you have to wash your hands bedavka inside, is only said, Lo Amarin Ella Lishtos, that if a person is just going to drink. Because when a person is just going to drink, he's not going to be necessarily so careful, because he's not eating, and he's drinking from a cup, he may not wash his hands. So therefore, bedavka, he has to go wash his hands inside to show everybody that he washed his hands. Avol, if we're dealing with Lechol, person is coming back inside to eating, so then it's okay, no tell me bachutz v'nichnas, because de meida yodia danina daite. Then he can wash his hands outside, and when he comes back inside, even if they don't see him wash his hands, if he sits down to eat, everybody knows, nobody would go sit down to eat without washing their hands. So therefore, in this situation, nobody's going to suspect him, and he doesn't have to wash inside. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, a person like myself, Anah, Afilu lishtos nami. Even if I come back and don't eat, I just go and drink, nobody's going to suspect that I didn't wash my hands because I'm well known. I am well known to be an istin, it's a fussy person, and therefore everybody's going to know that I washed my hands, even if I came in and just drank. That is my nature. Okay. Again, interesting Gemara. We'll go weiter. The Mishnah continues. Next Mishnah, Ein Adam Nichnas Lazara Lavoda. We'll talk about the word Lavoda in a second. But it tells us that a person is not allowed to enter into the Azara doing the Avoda. Afilu Tohar Achiyitbo. Even if he's Tar, until he actually goes and is Tovel in a Mikbah before he enters the Azara. Now, we have the word Lavoda. A lot of the Mefarshim disagree that that word Lavoda should be there, and in fact, some take it out. And you can see this in the Tosos, the Ramaskal in Adum Nichnas. So he says, Lav Davko Lavoda, not necessarily that he's going in for the Avoda. Alafilu L'Shlita, even a person is going in to do the Shlita, which is technically not an Avoda, because we said a Zor can do it. The Lav Avoda, he, nevertheless, Boy Tfila, he has to go and immerse himself in a mikvah, and he says, "Vafilu belav avoda." And even if it's not any avoda, Rakshi nichnas liazara, he's just entering into the azara. He has to go and be tovel in the mikvah, and he brings a proof from the Yerushalmi where it says, "The kamar lo sof dover liavoda el afilu shaloli avoda." Even if it's not for an avoda, and therefore some are not goris the word lavoda over here. Then the Mishnah tells us about the activities of the Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippur. It says, Chomesh Tevilos, there are 5 immersions in a mikvah, Vasara Kiddushin, and 10 times that the Kohen Gadol has to go wash Yadayim V'raglayim on Yom Kippur. So these Chomesh Tevilos, Vasara Kiddushin, Tova Kohen Gadol, Mekadesh Bo Bayom, on Yom Kippur he does them, and all of them, Bechulon, Bakodesh Abes Parva, and all of these immersions were done in the mikveh that was located on the chamber known as the Beis Parva. The Parva we said was a Namgushi or a certain person. We discussed previously why this Lisha was called Beis Parva, and it was on a second level. You had to go up to this Lishkas Beis Parva, and we said that it actually was on ground level. You started off at a lower point and you went up to the rooftop over here, which is actually equal to ground level. And this is based upon the Gemara in Pesachim, where it says that the Gagin and Alios lo niskachu. So then, how could you tell me that this base of the Parva was in the actual area that was Kadosh? So Tosos over there said, Shekivon Shegag Beis HaParva Hoya Shovel LeKarka HaZorah. It was equal to the level of the ground, and therefore he was considered, when he went to the mikveh there, that he was Miskadesh B'Kedushas HaZorah. So that's what the Tosos over there in Pesachim told us. In any event, these immersions that he did were all in the mikvah on the Beis HaParva, chutz mizubavat, with the exception of the first time that he went, because he couldn't go into the Azara. The Beis HaParva had the status of the Azara, so he couldn't go into the Azara without going to the mikvah. So the first time he went into the mikvah, he had to go and be tovel outside the Beis HaMikdash, outside the Azara, and then he could enter into the Azara. Finally, the Mishnah concludes and says, parsu sodin shobutz, they would go and put up a sheet of some linen, they would put that when he went into the mikveh so people wouldn't be able to see him when he came in and out, because he wasn't closed, obviously. So therefore they put up parsu sodin shobutz beino levein om, in between him and the other people. And then it tells us kidesh yodav iragla, but we delete that. That's in parentheses, and it's deleted because the first time that he goes, he isn't yet taking off big day kahuna, and therefore there's no need to be Mekadesh Yodav Iraglav. You only are Mekadesh Yodav Iraglav when you take off or put on, as we'll learn later in the Masechta, your Big Day Kahuna by the Kohen Gadol. So therefore, the first time he's taking off his Big Day Chol, so there's no need at that point in time to be Mekadesh Yodav Iraglav. So the Gemara will explain how we get to the total of 10. If it's 5 immersions and you're washing Yodav Iraglav twice with each immersion, so if the first one doesn't require Kiddush Yodav Iraglav, how do we get to the 10? The Gemara will explain. Now we start the Gemara. Gemara starts off and says, Shalu es ben Zoma, they ask ben Zoma the following Shaila, Tevila zu, this Tevila that you're mechuyev to do before you enter into the Azara, as we said, Ein Adam Nichnas li Azara, whether you goris lavoda or not, you must go to the mikvah. Lama, how come? What is the purpose of this? So we have a machlokas over here between ben Zoma and Rabbi Yehuda. So ben Zoma was asked this question, and he said, Omalem, the people asked him the question, so he told them, Uma hamishana mikodesh lekodesh, if a person, when he's going from one of the avodos that the Kohen Gadol has to do on Yom Kippur to another one of the avodos that the Kohen Gadol has to do on Yom Kippur. So Rashi understands this, that he's going from one holy place, for example, the Azara, to another holy place, the Kodesh Kedoshim, or the Kodesh. So he's going back and forth from holy place to holy place, each of which is an obligation. If you go into those areas without being Tovel, a din d'oraisa, that you must be Tovel, it's a chiyuv of kares. So if you're going from a holy place to a holy place, Tohu Tefila, you're obligated to be Tovel. So Allah has kama v'kama, kal v'chomer, certainly hamashana, mechol l'kodesh. If you're going from a whole place to now enter into a Kodesh place, so certainly it's a kal v'chomer that you have to go and be Tovel. And furthermore, u'mimokum she'ein anush kares, l'mokum she'anush kares, you go from a place where you're allowed to enter if you're Tomei without the chiyuv of kares, and you're going to a place now, if you do enter the Azara, when you're Tomei, there's a chiyuv of kares, so certainly it's a kal v'chomer, ein odin she'ton tefila. So this is an obligation, and according to Ben Zoma, it is a din d'araisa. Now, some suggest, the Tosfos Yeshanan, that we're not dealing here, when he says mikodesh l'kodesh, it means going from an activity that requires one type of holy garment to an activity that requires another type of holy garment. When the Kohen Gadol is switching from his Shmoneh Begadim to his Arba Begadim, so that's what it's referring to, not necessarily the place. In any event, Ben Zoma clearly holds it as a din d'oraisa. Rabbi Yehuda was asked the same question. He disagreed. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no, that this is serach tvilahi. Serach is like an adhesion, something connected to something else. So he says, this is just a reminder. It's a serach tefillah. It's not an obligatory tefillah. It's a derabbanan tefillah. What's the purpose? Kedei sheyizkor tumah yishana shebiyado v'yifrosh. So this way a person will remember, I have to go to the mikvah. Oh, that's right. I am tamei, and I wouldn't be allowed to go to the avoda until after I go to the mikvah and have harav shemesh. And this way the person will be reminded. We make him go to the mikvah to make him think, does he have a tumah that he's not allowed to go do any avoda until he has harav shemesh after he goes to the mikvah? So Gemara says, but Michael Miflegi, what are Ben Zoma and Yehuda really arguing about? And we turn to Lamed Omid Beis. So as I've already said, biachule avoda kol Miflegi, they're arguing about over here, if this is a din d'araisa, so then if you do the avoda when you are in fact not allowed to, like Ben Zoma says, so then it is mechalel the avoda, it makes it desanctified, it makes it no good, and you'd have to repeat the avoda. So Ben Zoma says, the Ben Zoma mechil avoda. If you do the avoda when you were required to have midyaraisa a tefila, so then the avoda is no good. It's ma'akev. It makes that avoda have to be repeated. But the Rabbi Yehuda lo mechil avoda. It's a din d'rabbanan. The rabbi said, listen, do this to make sure that if you were tamei, you don't go and do the avoda before you have harav shemesh. But bottom line is, if you didn't do this, so the avoda is still a good avoda. So Gemara asks, Ula Ben Zoma, mi mechil, really? According to Ben Zoma, you just said that the avoda would retroactively be no good, and it is mechalel the avoda for Tanya, but we learned in a brisa where he says otherwise. It says in this brisa, Kohen Gadol shelo toval velo kidesh, if the Kohen Gadol didn't go to the mikvah and was not mekadesh od v'raglov, so then whether it's bein beged lebeged, or whether it's bein avoda liavoda on Yom Kippur, when he has to change again from the 8 begadim to the 4 begadim, or he's going from one avoda to another avoda, if he didn't do the tvila, or it's not mekadesh yodav v'raglav, it says beferish in the brisa avodoso kishera, that this is a perfectly good and valid avoda. So that goes against what Ben Zoma said. By the way, the brisa continues. This is true. Echad kohen gadol v'echad kohen hedjo. The rest of the time, shelo kiddush yodav v'raglav shachris. By all the other avodas, if you didn't do the kiddush yodav v'raglav before the activity, v'ovar avoda, and you did an avoda, then avodas ha'psula. So the brisa is telling us that in other situations, there is an obligation to be mekadesh yodav v'raglav, but not in Yom Kippur. So if Ben Zoma is learning out his whole din from Yom Kippur, so then he's not in accord with his brisa. So therefore, the Gemara revises what the understanding is between Ben Zoma and Rabbi Yehuda. Elo, the Gemara says, the machlokes is lemeikam ba'asei komiflegi. They're arguing about, are you being over a kum va'asei, that you're supposed to be tovel before you go and do the different avodas on Yom Kippur. You have to be mekadesh yodav v'raglav before you do the different avodas on Yom Kippur. You definitely have to do it at the very start, but in between each avoda, is this going to be over an asei or not? Ben Zoma tells us yes, and Rabbi Yehuda says no. Le Ben Zoma koi b'asei, and Rabbi Yehuda lo koi b'asei. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you're not over an asei. According to Ben Zoma, you are. So that's the fundamental understanding of the machlokas between them. The Gemara says, really, is this what Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is? Umi islele Rabbi Yehuda, hai svara. Does Rabbi Yehuda really hold over here that anybody going into the Azara is chayiv tefila midirabbanan? Is that really his opinion? But Tanya, we learned in another braisa, dealing with the Mitzora on his eighth day. Now, it says there in this braisa, Mitzora tovel, v'omid b'shar nikdar. The Tanakhama holds that the Mitzora has to be tovel, and he has to stand in shar nikdar, and put his thumb in, and put his big toe in, and he put his right ear in order to have all the process of the Tahara for a Mitzora to be done. And it says that he has to go tovel v'omid b'shar nikdar. He has to first be tovel before he goes there. Now, that's the Tanakhama's opinion. Perfectly good. Along comes Rabbi Yehuda, our Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Eino Tzorich Tfila. He doesn't have to be Tovel on the eighth day, but he was Tovel the day before. Shikvar Tovel Mibo Erev. He was Tovel yesterday before it was nightfall, because at the end of the 7-day period, he has to go to the mikvah, and then he has Erev Shemesh. So Rabbi Yehuda says he does not need to go and be Tovel when he comes into the Azara. So how can you tell me that Rabbi Yehuda says that somebody must be Tovel before they go into the Azara? Even though, albeit, he said it's only midirabbanan, he clearly see in the braisa that he says you do not have to. It was enough that he went to the mikveh yesterday, and he knows he's not tamei. He didn't become tamei during that period of time, so therefore, he doesn't have to go again today. So kasha, Rav Yehuda, in this braisa, where the shita that we said, Rav Yehuda here, that says that you have to go, albeit midirabbanan, to the mikveh. So Gemara says, no, that's not a problem. That braisa, how kidetani taima, according to that braisa, you don't have to go because shikvar toval mi ba'erev. He went. This fulfillment of this din derabbanan that you have to be toval doesn't have to be done immediately before you go. It could be done sometime before you go. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, the din derabbanan is fulfilled by going on the end of the 7th day. Lav dafka, that you have to go on the 8th day. You must go to the mikvah. But it's fine if you went at the end of the 7th day. That going to the mikvah then could count as well for you coming into the Azara on the 8th day and fulfill this srach tvila that he says you have to do. So that's how you reconcile these two braises. So this is such an obvious teretz, seems to say it almost befeirish, that Yehuda says that eino tzorach tvila shekvar toval mi bo erev. So why did you ask that as a stira? It seems that it really wasn't a good question. So the one that asked it, Udu Kaori Law, my Kaori Law, what was he really thinking? So the Gemara says, Mishum de Koboi Lemirma Achrite Ale, because he was setting it up for the real question. And the real question is as follows, because we have in the Braisa, Lishkas HaMitzoroin. It was called the Lishka that the Mitzoroin would go into to prepare themselves. And what would they do there? Shesham Mitzoroyin Tovlim. They would be Tovel in that Lishkas HaMitzoroyin. There was a special mikvah there, and they would be Tovel there. That's what the Tanakhama says in the Braisa. And along comes again Rabbi Yehuda, or Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Lo Mitzoroyin. Now we have the Girsa over here, Bilvad. We'll point out later on that some will take out the Girsa over here, Bilvad, in the Gemara when we discuss Terutzim to our problem. So right now we have the gear. So the review that says, not only lo mitzoroyim bilvad omru, that were tovel in this lishkas mitzoroyim's mikvah, ela kol adam, anybody who is nichnas into the Azara has to be tovel over there. That was like the way station before you went to the Azara. You were tovel in that mikvah. Now, from the lashon of lo mitzoroyim bilvad, so that implies that Yehuda in fact holds that the mitzora has to be tovel there, like all other people, on day 8. And therefore, it's a stira to what we said previously, that the Mitzora is not chayav a tefila on day 8, but it would be acceptable to have the tefila on day 7. So it seems that Rav Yehuda still has a stira. Here, in this braisa that we just brought down, he seems to imply that even the Mitzorayim, lo Mitzorayim bovad, but certainly including the Mitzorayim, have to be tovel on the 8th day when they go inside, and not enough that they were tovel on the 7th day, and that doesn't jibe with the answer. We said no, that he said it's enough to go on the 7th day. Shmuel says, no, still not a stira, lo kasha, hodu tovil, hodu lo tovil. The same teretz that we gave a moment ago applies here as well. If the Mitzora wasn't tovil on the 7th day, so then he has to be tovil on the 8th day. But if he was tovil on the 7th day, so then there's no need to be tovil on the 8th day, and the two braises aren't at odds with each other. Where it says, wait a second, that can't be. Because Eid the Lo Tovil on the 7th day, so Harev Shemish Bai. So now when he's going to the mikvah on the 8th day, he can't do the entire process. He can't have his korbanos brought. He needs Harev Shemish. So obviously we're talking about that he had Harev Shemish on the 7th day, because if he wants to do the
whole process of Tahara on the eighth day, he already had to have had Tefillah and Harav Shemesh. So this Brisa is not talking about that the Tefillah on the seventh day is fine, and only if he didn't go on the seventh day, then he needs to go on the eighth day. No, it means he has to go on the seventh day, and he has to go on the eighth day. So therefore, we're left with a stira between the two statements of Yehuda. So Gemara says, you're right, Taka, Elo, Edi, V'Edi, the Tovil. Both Brises are talking about that he was Tovil on the seventh day. So how come one seems to say that he doesn't have to be Tovil on the eighth day, and one seems to say that he has to again be Tovil on the eighth day? So Gemara will give several terutzim to this kasha. Ho di asach daite, ho di lo asach daite. You know, the difference is, if he had a hesach hadas, if he wasn't careful that maybe he became into contact with some type of a tumah, so then he has to go again on the eighth day. That's the brisa that says that lo mitzorah and bovad have to go, but anybody has to go before they enter the azara. And even though under normal circumstances, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if he went yesterday, that would be fine. But he had a hesach hadas. And since he had a hesach hadas, we make him be tovel again on the eighth day. Sounds like it's a good teretz. Gemara says, I'm not happy with that. If you tell me he had a hesach hadas, so then it wouldn't be enough to just go on the eighth day and everything is good. If he had a hesach hadas, so then we have to be concerned that he came into contact with Tumas Meis. If he came into contact with Tumas Meis, there's a 7-day waiting period before he could do any of this. And he also has to have Hazor Shlishi Ushvi, boy. And he would need to have the sprinkling of the Parah Aduma, the Mechatas, on himself on day 3 and on day 7. So if you're telling me he went to the mikvah on the 7th day, had Harav Shemesh, and then had a Hesach Hadas, so then he can't go to the mikvah on the 8th day. He's going to need 7 days with the Mei Chatas being sprinkled on him on day 3 and 7, and then have to go to the mikvah, then have Harav Shemesh, and then go in on the 8th day of that to have his Metzora Tahara process completed. So you got a problem over here if you're telling me it's Hesach Hadas. Where do we know this from? The Amar Rav Dostoy Bar Moson, Amar Rav Yochanan, Hesach Hadas, Tzorech Hazor Shlish Ushvi. If you had a Hesach Hadas from knowing that you came into contact or didn't come into contact with Tumas Meis, if you weren't careful about it, so then we have to presume the worst, and therefore that can't be a good reconciliation. So again, we're back to our original question. How can you tell me one Brisa he has to go on the eighth day, and the other Brisa tell me he doesn't have to go on the eighth day? So we'll give somewhat of an obvious teretz to this. No, he didn't really have a hesach hadas. But how do you reconcile that? How come one bride says, yes, you have to go on the eighth day, and the other bride says, no, you don't have to go on the eighth day? Because the tovil adas bias mikdosh. Or the lo tovil adas bias mikdosh. The two are talking about two different scenarios. In the first case, he was tovil, had the tovil al das bias mikdash. He had hinni muchan mezum, and I'm going to enter into the Beis HaMikdash, and this tefillah will be mitar me for any tumah that I have that is required to have a tefillah before I enter the Beis HaMikdash. Oh, so then, if he had that type of a thought on the seventh, when he went into the mikvah on the seventh day, and then he had Harav Shemesh, and there's no Hesach Hadas, so then he doesn't need to go to the mikvah on the eighth day. Ah, that's the Brisa where Yehuda said he doesn't need to go in on the eighth day. But, in the other case, the lo tovil adas bias mikdash, he didn't have this concept in mind that he's being mitar himself for any type of tumah that he has to go into the Beis HaMikdash and he needs a tefillah for. And instead of having in mind that I'm going to do this tefillah in order to have bias mikdash, in other words, I'm going to go there to put my right thumb in, my right big toe in, my right ear in, inside the azara, and finish off the Tahara process. That wasn't on his mind. He said on the seventh day, I'm going to the mikvah because this is part of the Tahara process to be mitar from Tumas Mitzora. So his thinking is critical. And according to this, if he didn't have the right thinking, the right thought process in mind, why he's going to the mikvah on the seventh day, and he only thought that this was just part of the general Tahara process, but not to permit him to go and put his right thumb, his right big toe, and his right ear inside the Azara, as a Mitzorah has to do, so then in this situation, he has to go again to the mikvah on the eighth day. This is teretz number one. Why Rav Yehuda in one brisa says he has to go again on the eighth day, and the other brisa says you don't have to go again on the eighth day. Teretz number two, V'boi Yisema, you could argue as follows. Tani, we learned in the brisa, lo mitzoroyin omru el kol odam. Delete the word lo mitzoroyin bilvad omru. So according to this, Rav Yehuda is saying, no, not Mitzorayim. We're not talking about the Mitzorayim. They went on the seventh day. They don't have to. Ela kol adam. In other words, every person, when he goes in there, has to go and be tovel to the mikvah. But a Mitzorah, even though this is called Lishkas Mitzorayim, they don't have to go because if they went yesterday, there's no reason for them to go again today. And therefore, there's no stira in Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. He always says, if the Metzorah went on the seventh day and had Erev Shemesh, there's no need for the Metzorah to go on the eighth day. And that's why the Gers and the Brisa should be a low Metzorah number. We're not talking about the Metzorah. We're talking about Kol Adam, because the Metzorah already went on the seventh day, and there is no need for him to go on the eighth day as well. Thus, no Stira in Rabbi Yehuda. And finally, the third and final teretz of the potential Stira is from Ravina. Ravina Amar, he says as follows. Rabbi Yehuda was not saying his own Shita when he said that you have to be Tovo only on the seventh day and have Erev Shemesh, and that's enough, and the Metzorah doesn't have to be Tovo on the eighth day. That's my Shita, Rabbi Yehuda says. But even according to you, they normally say that a person has to be Tovo on the eighth day, L'divrayim L'Rabbanan Karmalu. He's saying, according to you, you should say that he doesn't need this tefillah. Why is that? L'didi, according to me, Metzorah ain't a tzorach tefillah. I don't hold he needs a tefillah because he went on the seventh day. So of course I hold he doesn't need to go on the eighth day. No hesach hadas, and he had the right kavanas. So then there's no reason for him to go again on the eighth day. That's my shita. But l'didcho, but according to you, they say he does have to go on the eighth day. At least admit to me, oduli easy mihas. At least admit to me the following. The word easy is like a filler word. It is a tikkun lashon. The mefarshim explain that it's like the word therefore or at least something like that. And the mashal in Bava Metzia says that it's a lashon of ohev. It's like, oh, my dear friends. So whatever it is, it's like a filler word over here. And he says, according to you, at least admit to me the following. The lo mitzorayim bilvad amru. When you're saying that you have to go to the mikvah, you're not talking about mitzorayim bilvad. Because if the mitzorah went on the seventh day, why would he have to go again on the eighth day? But you're saying you didn't really elokol adam, who didn't go on the seventh day. There is no seventh day for them, so they have to go to the mikvah. So therefore, Rav Yehuda says, at least admit to me that you agree that a mitzorah shouldn't have to go. We all agree that you have to go into the azara. You have to be tovel. I agree with you with that. You agree with me with that. So at least admit to me that if the Mitzorah went on the seventh day, that's enough. He shouldn't have to go again on the eighth day. That's what Rav Yehuda is saying to the Chachamim. Not that that's my opinion, but even according to you, you should admit that he shouldn't have to go on the seventh day and on the eighth day. No, what did the Rabbanon respond to that? The Rabbanon, they say, no, Mitzorah Dayish B'tumah. A Mitzorah, the Lashon of Dayish, Rashi says, is a Lashon of Hurgal. He is so used to being Tome. As a Mitzorah, he can't go in the camp. At times, he's separated from his wife. Anybody that comes near him is going to come Tome. If they come under the same roof as him, has all sorts of problems. So he's immersed, he's rogil in Tuma. And therefore, he's not going to be careful. And therefore, the Chacham hold, even though the Mitzorah went on the seventh day to the Mikra and had Harif Shemesh, we are very concerned that since he's so used to being Tomei, that he's not careful. And therefore, we make him go again on the eighth day. The outside chance, because he wasn't careful, he came into contact with something that requires a tefillah before he goes into the Azara. We're concerned that he came into contact with something, and therefore, before he goes into the Azara, we make him go again. But everybody else, Kol Adam, Lo Daishi B'Tumah, other people are not so murgal with Tumah, and therefore, they say that a stam person has a cheskes tahara and doesn't have to be tova before he goes into the Beis HaMikdash. So that's what the Rabbanon's opinion is according to this third, final reconciliation of the Stira. Rav Yehuda says, I certainly don't hold that he needs to be tova again. And you should hold that since a Metzorah has to be tova, everybody has to be tova. And they respond, no, Metzorah has to be tova because we're concerned he's so murgal to the Tumah that he became Tumah by tossing something without realizing it. But everybody else, lav dafka, if they don't think that they're Tumah, they don't need technically to be Tova before they go into the Mikdash area. Amalei Abayi Rav Yosef. Abayi now says to Rav Yosef, Neymar, let us say over here, Rabbanon de Pligi Alei to Rav Yehuda. We seem to now, according to this third teretz, seem to have two opinions of the Chachamim. We had earlier the Chachamim say that you do have to be Tovel every time you go into the Azara, and then this new understanding of the other Chachamim is that you don't have to be Tovel when you go inside. So Gemara wants to suggest, Abayi is saying to Rav Yosef, let us say that these Rabbanon that argue on Rav Yehuda, in the first Braisa that say you do have to go, they hold Kiben Zoma Svirulhu. They hold that it is an obligation in HaTorah that you have to go and be Tovel before you went into the Azara. And the reason why they mention specifically the Mitzorah as well, V'ayidiktoni Mitzorah, that's Lodiacha Koch de Yehuda. That's to show you the strength of Yehuda Shita, that he says that a Mitzorah doesn't have to go because he went on the day before. Or maybe, Ol Dilmor, Shiny Mitzorah, the Daish Betumah. Maybe the reason why they mention Mitzorah is because maybe they agree with this second Braisa, where they're saying that it's really a Mitzorah who's so immersed, so Rogil in Tumah, so therefore he has to go, but everybody else would not have to go. So the Gemara says, Rav Yossi says to Abaye, Amalei, yeah, Shiny Mitzorah did Aish Batumah. The real reason is because the Mitzorah is so murgal in this Tumah, so the rabbis said that he has to go. But Lav Davka, do they hold that every single person has to go to the mikvah before they enter into the Azorah? Finally, the Gemara concludes and says, Amalei Abaye Rav Yossi. So Abaye responds back to Rav Yossi. Now, we delete the words, according to most, L'Rabbi Yehuda, D'Yomar Srach, that it's saying that it's B'davka, it's holding according to Rabbi Yehuda, that says that it's a Din D'Rabbanan, it's a Srach Tvila. In any event, we're Gores, Tvila, he, Zu, or some aren't Gores the word he, so this Tvila, Abaye says to Rabbi Yosef, and we turn to Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph, do we have all the rules of a regular immersion in regards to this tefila? Do the halachas of chatzitza apply or not? If you're telling me that it's only a din derabbanan, so we makbid on this din derabbanan and say chotzeitz, oh, eino chotzeitz. Do we have all the dinim of chatzitza apply? You're not allowed to go and immerse yourself when you're doing this srach tefila. You still have to have all the dinim of tefila of chatzitza, as Rashi says, possible chatzitza kishar tefilos. We don't treat it any differently, or maybe not. O dilma. Rashi continues, "Kiven the Ena Ba Elo Laskiru Ala Tuma Yeshana." Since we're just doing this to help him remember, did he have a previous tuma? The Lo Latarba, and it's not really accomplishing anything because if he didn't have a previous tuma, he wasn't needed to do this. So therefore, maybe we don't need over here to say that a chatzitza would ruin it. So Gemara answers, Rav Yosef says to Abaye, Omalei, called the Tikkun Rabbanon, came the Raisa Tikkun. We have a famous rule that in general, whenever you set something up, so we set it up on a Darabbanon level, the same way that it was on a Daraisa level. And just like on a Daraisa level, Chatzitza applies, so to on a Darabbanon level, Chatzitza applies. Similarly, Abaye asks Rav Yosef the following Shiloh, Omalei Abaye le Rav Yosef, Bia b'miktsas shmo Bia olo. When a person puts part of his body inside the Azara, so is that considered as if his whole body went in the Azara and he needs to go to the mikvah even for part of the body, or lo? Do we say no, that you only have to go to the mikvah if you're putting your entire body inside, but not if you're putting a small part of your body inside? That's not called B.S. mikvah if you only have a little bit of your body inside. So Rav Yosef answers to Abaye, Omalei, Bahonos Yochichu, the bohen, the right thumb and the right big toe, as well as the right ear, Tnuch Ozen, Hayimanis, they'll prove to us, Shehein Biyo B'miktsas. As we just said, we require a tefila just for that purpose. And therefore, the Tanya, Mitzorah Tovah V'Omeid B'Shar Nikna, we said that the Mitzorah has to be Tovah in Shar Nikna, and all he's having is a Biyo B'miktsas. So clearly the answer is, Rav Yosi tells Abaye, that Biyo B'miktsas is requiring tefila. It's considered Shema Biyo. With this we conclude today's shir.